Hi, welcome back to Promises Podcast. This is episode 3 of season 2, and I want to thank you for listening. It means so much to me. Let's hop right in and get to know our episode guest, Jasmine Barton, right after this. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning into Promises Podcast. This is season 2, and today we have an awesome guest from the Houston, Texas area. Her name is Jasmine Barton, and she's going to tell us all about her type 1 Texan account, her awareness for type 1 diabetes, and even more just about herself. How are you, Jasmine?
I'm great. I'm happy. I'm excited.
Me too. Thank you so much for coming on here. I don't know if you know anything about Team Legacy, but Bria is actually in it with me. And it's just kind of an encouragement support group for entrepreneurs. So anyone who's listening from Team Legacy, Jasmine is actually Bria's cousin, Bria Landry, who's in our Team Legacy group. So I'm really excited. I told Bria about this earlier this week, and she's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be awesome. Yes. So I just wanted to start us out kind of a brief intro about you and just who you are.
Okay. Well, like you said, my name is Jasmine Barton, from Texas, living in the Houston area. I'm 27, living life. Right now I'm teaching social development, and it's really, really hard. It's not an easy thing. But I'm also into health and life coaching. This is my first year doing that, and I'm excited. I have a lot of goals for that this year. And then, of course, like you mentioned before, type 1 Texan is kind of my center, because it has all to do with diabetes and being a type 1 diabetic. You know, that's kind of who I am and what I do. So,
yeah. That is so cool. So maybe if you feel comfortable a little bit later, you can talk to us about kind of the coaching and that side of your business too.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. So just to kind of dive into the material here, can you tell us kind of about, I know you found out that you had type 1 diabetes
right
later on in your life, and I just wanted to know if you could tell us a little bit of kind of the story of how it was finding out that you had it.
Yeah, of course. So in 2018, I went to the doctor. The date was December 4th. I had been having symptoms for like 6 months, since the summer. I was falling asleep all the time. And when I say like I was exhausted, like it wasn't a normal exhaustion. I could literally be sitting at a red light waiting for it to turn green and I could fall asleep.
Oh my gosh.
I would get home from work and I would sit down on the couch for 1 minute and I would fall asleep. When I get home from work, I like to do my work at the kitchen table. I would fall asleep at the kitchen table, and my husband would come home at like 7 o'clock at night. He's like, how long have you been asleep? I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of fell asleep here. So it was like extreme fatigue. I was falling asleep at work, and I work with kids. So it's not the safest thing. Like I was falling asleep anytime I sat down. I was so thirsty. It was painful. Like imagine not having water for a whole day and multiply that feeling times 100. It was painful. I was so thirsty. No matter how much I drank, no matter what I drank, always thirsty. I was always nauseous. Like a 24/7 thing, always nauseous, always felt like I was going to throw up. Never did. I was having constant headaches. And I think the biggest thing was I started losing a lot of weight very, very quickly. I was really heavy into the gym before I got sick, and all of a sudden I started getting more and more tired. I couldn't lift as much as I used to. I couldn't run as much as I used to. And eventually I stopped going to the gym. But I started losing all this weight, even though I was out of the gym. I was dropping like 5 pounds a week.
Oh.
I think the lowest I got was 109 or 105.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really scary. And at the time, I'm like, I was Googling all of my symptoms. Hindsight is 20/20, of course. And I would, that would always be the first thing that popped up was type 1 diabetes. And I would joke about it to Michael, my husband. I'm like, this says I have diabetes. That's crazy. Like, what does that even mean? So I knew what it was, but I didn't know what it was. And finally, I think the final straw for me, I was just brushing my teeth one day and I just threw up. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird. It was just like a random, it was quick, it was random. And I was like, oh, okay, that was weird. And then I went to work that morning and my coworker took one look at me and he was like, you don't look too good. Like, why can't you walk in a straight line? Have you been drinking? I was like, no, I think I'm okay, but I'll make a doctor's appointment. So I made a doctor's appointment. I barely made it through the day. I finally got to the doctor and they were asking me what's going on. And I told them. So they took a urine sample and she came in and she's like, okay, this is not a joke. I need you to give me your keys and I'm going to call an ambulance for you. You have type 1 diabetes and you're in something called DKA. Oh. And I'm like, okay, wait, slow down. Like, what do you mean type 1 diabetes? What does that mean? And she kind of explained it to me, but it wasn't registering because I'm still like, what is this woman talking about? Why is she calling an ambulance? She basically told me like I could fall into a coma at any moment and not wake back up. So I was like freaking out and having a meltdown. She wouldn't let me drive. I didn't want to take an ambulance because it was so expensive to take an ambulance. So she called my husband from work and he had to come from work and pick me up. And I was in ICU for 4 days. My blood sugar was over 500. My A1C, which is how much like sugar has been in your blood over the past 3 months, it was 15.9. Which is extremely dangerous. I had acute kidney failure. Oh, so I'd spent 4 days in ICU. They were trying to save my life basically because I was on my way out. So it was a pretty crazy diagnosis. It was like a whirlwind.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that I kind of knew the story, but I didn't really realize it was that serious when you found out. So that is very scary. And that just tells you like how many people probably may have it and they're that close. They're just on the brink too. They're just like, oh, I just feel bad. Yeah. You know, but they don't think that it's that serious. So it can be so dangerous.
Yeah, it is very dangerous.
So after you found out, kind of, after being in the ICU and those intense days, yeah. After that, kind of when you were kind of comprehending, everything was really, setting in, kind of what were your first thoughts and emotions? Because it's something that, if I understand correctly, I don't know that much about it, but is this something that stays with you your whole life?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So basically what happens is somewhere along the way, your white blood cells get confused and they attack the insulin beta cells. So your pancreas, it's like not making insulin at all.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And everybody needs insulin to live. So that's why, we have to be on the insulin shots forever until they give us the cure. I think they have one. But so it's chronic. You live with it forever. And that was such a big shocker to me because when they told me I had diabetes, I was very confused. I didn't even know there was more than one type. Mm-hmm. I thought it had to do with what you ate. I thought it was for people that were extremely overweight. So I was just really confused. Even leaving the hospital, like the doctors explained it to me, but not really. The thing about type 1 is it's very misunderstood. Even doctors, like I saw two different doctors when I was in the ICU and one was like, oh, you have type 1. And the other one's like, oh, you have type 2. And then the nurses are like, oh, it doesn't matter. You treat them the same, but they're not treated the same at all. So I was feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. When I left the hospital and I got home, I was like, I don't know what to do. I forgot everything that they told me. Giving myself a shot, that was a nightmare. It took probably a good 10 minutes. To give myself my first shot because they wouldn't even let me leave the hospital until they saw that I knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was terrifying. That's not a natural thing to stab yourself with a needle.
Right. You know what I mean? I'm like kind of not afraid of needles. Like I have a pituitary tumor. So like every 6 months I have to go get my blood labs and stuff done.
Yeah.
But I, even now, like I have to lay down and I usually have to like sing to myself. It's so random, but yeah. It's completely unnatural. And then it's like suddenly something that you never thought you'd have to do. Do you have to do it every week or?
I give myself a shot 8 to 10 times a day.
A day?
A day. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
A day.
I have no idea.
Come to my house, you see pin needles all over the house. Like they're everywhere. They're in my car. So basically what happens when you eat, all that food is being converted into sugar and it goes into your blood. Mm-hmm. So like your body automatically makes the insulin, pumps it out, you're good to go. With me, I have to calculate the carbs in everything I eat. So say I want to have a hamburger and it's going to be like 32 carbs. I'm on a carb insulin ratio. So for every 10 carbs I eat, that's one unit of insulin that I have to take. So for that burger, I would be taking 3 units of insulin. And I mean, that's for everything I eat. If I want to have a snack and there's 20 carbs in it, I have to pull my needles out and take a shot. If I'm going to have a drink and there's carbs in that drink, I have to pull my needles out and take a shot. It's an all day thing for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a huge life change.
Very, very huge. And it's strange. Like, it's almost like my whole life was kind of leading up to this moment. Because I had married Michael and shortly after we got married, he started doing keto. He's been doing it for like 5 years now, but, cooking for him, I had to learn how to count carbs, you know, to kind of keep him on keto. And then I did keto for a little bit. But yeah, so I was already counting carbs. And when they told me that at the hospital, I was like, oh, I already know how to do that. So
yeah, that
was kind of second nature. It was just all the shots.
Yeah, that's really good though, because I was about to say or ask, you know, do you try to, I mean, obviously, I guess you do probably anyway, try to limit your carbs just because it's so much extra that you have to deal with if you have them.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, like, keto would be so perfect, or at least helpful,
yeah.
I would think. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs, but.
Yeah.
To kind of go a little bit different direction, I kind of wanted to know and hear a little bit more about what made you want to start your Type 1 Texan account? And is it an organization or a campaign? And just kind of go into a little bit about that.
So Type 1 Texan kind of came out of a necessity. I was sitting in my room one day and I got a call from the billing department from the hospital. And they're like, okay, so you're like my stay in ICU. They were like, that cost you $40,000. And I was like, oh, okay, do you think I have that? And they're like, well, good thing, like, your insurance took care of most of it, but you're still responsible for $4,000. How do you want to pay? And, I mean, as we all know, insulin is already an expensive medication, mm-hmm. Even with insurance. So I'm buying insulin. I have to buy pin needles for the insulin. I have to have alcohol wipes on me at all times. I wear a glucose monitor on my body. That's very expensive. So I was already paying all this money just to function as a normal human being in the world. We didn't have $4,000 to just spend. And, you know, I told the lady, I was like, there's nothing I can do right now. Even the payment plan payments were super high. Mm-hmm. So I had a breakdown. I had to get off of the phone with her before, like, we had a fight. Because it's not her fault. She's just doing her job. Uh-huh. So, you know what? I'm going to call you back later. Just let me get off the phone. So we got off the phone, and I had this just, like, complete meltdown. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, you know what? I see there's a huge community for type 1 diabetes on Instagram. And some people have, like, these whole shops dedicated to like cute little shirts with diabetic sayings on them and different little bags to carry and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, I can do that. So that's just like when Type 1 Texan was born, I sat there, I brainstormed, t-shirt ideas, all of that. even Bria helped me with my logo. She did it for me. And that's how it came about. So basically I'm selling stuff to help pay for that $4,000 bill that's still kind of looming over my head, and all of my supplies. And along the way, I've made a lot of T1D friends, and all of them, most of them, unfortunately, are not able to afford things like we're able to afford things. And I was like, you know what? It would be great if I could help other people when I have extra test strips or extra lancets to poke my finger with. And that's kind of how it came about. I want to help everyone, because a lot of people are struggling and dying because they're rationing their insulin or whatever else is going on. Or like we talked about earlier, a lot of people might have it and they don't know because they don't want to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to go to the doctor. So to help pay for doctor's appointments, and it's just kind of fostered this community of helping each other. And you're not always going to see that like on the Instagram and stuff. I kind of like to do it, message people privately and stuff like that. But I do like to give back when I can.
And I think it's awesome too, like just getting to see through your posts and your captions and everything is probably really encouraging to people, other people who are going through it. Just like, you know, when you talk about having, when you go to get your prescriptions and stuff like that, I'm sure there are, like, everyone who has it or something even similar can relate. And it just probably gives them a little bit of like encouragement. Like, I'm not the alone dealing with this.
Right. Right.
I think that is really cool. I did want to know what you think kind of about like healthcare regarding use. I guess you said T1D. Is that like the abbreviation?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. It's faster. Just kind of, what are your thoughts on the healthcare around it? And then bringing awareness to places where healthcare might be lacking or anything like that? Or are you kind of trying to bring more awareness to ways that maybe it could be better?
Definitely trying to bring more awareness. There's a, I guess an organization, the JDRF, they're like the biggest advocate for diabetes, and we're always kind of working together to do something about the insulin prices, because the healthcare and diabetes is just insane. They're making so much money off of us. I can see why they wouldn't want to lower any of the prices. Mm-hmm. But it has to change. They can make a living still, I'm sure, because it's ridiculous. Like when I was first diagnosed, I had never used I'd never used my health insurance before. So I wasn't really sure what to do. And we went to go pick up all my medication and all my supplies from the pharmacy. And she's like, well, without insurance, it's all $2,000. And we were like, what? I was like, I just got out of ICU. I need that medicine that you're holding. And she's like, okay, just for the pen, $800. I was like, what is going on here? That's for one pen of insulin? Like, the prices are just astronomical, insane.
It's not like you're going in there to, you know, get Botox or something. You know, it's like you have to have it to live.
Exactly. That's crazy. Live. It's the way, and you die. So something has to change, and JDRF is working hard to do that. And they actually, each state has a chapter, and I'm actually part of the Houston chapter. So we write our congressman, we write the governor, everybody we can talk to try and change something, because it's too much.
That's awesome. And I like to follow, you know, I've been following along pretty recently. We kind of connected, and I kind of realized that you had the Type 1 Texan account, and I've been following along. So I'm excited to see what happens in the future. And support, you know, when I can, I love supporting my friends and people who I see doing good things. So in the future, hopefully I'll be able to maybe support a little bit in different ways, you know, monetarily or volunteering or something. I'm trying to figure out just personally. And I talked to DeAndre, the person I interviewed earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I want to be more active in my community. So I'm trying to figure out different places that I might be able to volunteer. Like for me, I just go straight to like animal shelter because I love animals, but I know there are so many different organizations that need people to volunteer. So it's cool talking to people who are just dealing with different things in life that there might be an opportunity to somewhere near me go volunteer or help in some way with something that supports type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes or something, you know.
I love that, an ally.
All right, let me see here. So I did kind of in a little bit more of closing, I wanted to know, because this is like we talked about briefly, it's a huge life change and you're so young. Whenever kind of, how are you kind of, for lack of a better word, coping? Who's your support system? Have you found people through the community to support you? And just kind of how would you encourage someone else going through it to get through like the tougher times? Cause I imagine that there are probably times that you feel better and times that you feel worse.
Oh, absolutely. My family and my friends are probably my biggest supporters, and my husband, because he saw it from beginning to where I am now. Like when I came from the hospital, I would be fine during the day. I'm like, okay, I can give myself these shots. I can count the carbs. It's fine. My blood sugar is high. I feel like garbage. It's fine, whatever. But like, as soon as I laid down to go to bed every night for about a month, I would just cry and cry. And, you know, he was very understanding. He's very patient. He still won't give me a shot. He's terrified. I can't stick you with a needle. I can't do it. But like I understand. I don't blame him for it. But everyone around me has just been so supportive. I don't like to be too emotional around people. So usually people get the like the happy side of me, the, oh, I don't mind this. This is fine. Side of me, but they're a big support system. If I do need help with something, people help me out. If I need it, they're great. And then, like I said, the community on Instagram, I would not have been able to do it without them. Honestly, because like I said, I came home from the hospital just completely clueless, no idea what to do, no idea what I was doing. I was like, am I going to give myself too much insulin and kill myself? Like, terrifying. I don't know what to do. They were the biggest help, and some of the biggest ones, like Jillian Ripalone or T1D Chick on Instagram. She has a whole system of like trading, and if somebody needs help, she reaches out and everybody helps this one person. It's a really, really cool thing. I love her. And then a lot of people will buy my type 1 detection shirts. They're like, hey, I just want to support. I don't have diabetes, but I've been following you. I want to support. And of course, other diabetics are like, oh, I get that little inside joke. I want to help support. Mm-hmm. We can really just ask each other about anything. Some diabetics are on pumps, and I'm about to go on an insulin pump very soon. So it's been nice to just scroll through like certain tags on Instagram and ask people. And everyone's so helpful and quick to help. And that's what I love about this community. No one is really condescending, or they think they're better than you because their numbers are better. Like, we're all in it together and just wanting to help each other. So I love, love the Instagram community.
That's awesome. That's something I love about social media, with ever since it kind of came to be and we're able to use it, you can find support for all sorts of different things that you might be dealing with. I like, you know, Reddit. I use Reddit all the time, and there are just so many different groups of people that know exactly or pretty close to exactly what you're going through, and they can be there for you. Before we finish out, can you tell us where we can find you on social media or Facebook, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. Just type in Type 1 Texan and you'll find my page there. I have a website, type1texan.com. It's still kind of under construction. We're working hard on it. And I do have an Instagram. You can also find me at type1texan on Instagram.
Okay, cool. And is the website where people could find their shirts whenever that's good going?
Shirts are on sale there as well.
Cool. Awesome. And then I did want to get this in here real quick before we close out. You said you were working on kind of, did you say life coaching?
Yes. Health and life coaching. That's something that I discovered that I loved after I was diagnosed. Because honestly, I love teaching. I love the kids. They're great. But I was never fully satisfied. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm doing this. It's great. I love it. But there's something more for me. And after I got sick, I started soaking up all this information, and I was able to help other people who have had diabetes forever but haven't been able to get under control. I'm kind of a control freak like that. So I got mine under control really, really quickly. And I wanted to help other people that were struggling. So I enrolled in a school, and I'm certified in health and life coaching. So I have programs for diabetes like burnout, people that have just been diagnosed, understanding your diabetes. Even I'm learning more. I'm working on a course for type 2 diabetes. I want to be able to help everyone. Just pretty much everything you can think of. If you just need somebody to help you through life, that's what I do. If you need to lose weight, that's what I do. If you need help sleeping, that's what I do. Like, I'm always soaking up information and learning. I just want to help everyone around me be in the best place they can be for themselves.
That is so cool. You seem like very determined. Like, when you figure that out, you like something, you go for it. That was really cool. We could all use a little bit more of that. I know I could. Well, thank you so much, Jasmine. I've really enjoyed getting to talk to you, getting to know you a little bit more. And I'm just thankful that you had the time and you were able to come join us. And thank you so much. Do you have any closing remarks, anything else you'd like to say before we go out?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. This is super cool. And this is kind of the first time I've ever done something like this, and I'm loving it. Like, oh, yay. I can do more of this.
I'm trying to bring awareness to people that I've meet.
Yeah.
Who are doing something, who are like really wanting to change some things in their life, in other people's lives, and help people. So that makes me really happy. And I hope that maybe this might bring you some more opportunities.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And so for us right now, it's the weekend coming up. It's Friday. So Jasmine, have a good Friday. And for everyone else listening, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the show, and come back in a few weeks for the next episode.